So I will confess, I actually went online and I looked for a good Palm Sunday joke. There's just not one. It doesn't exist. It's just really sad, you know. And I think it's because we're kicking off, you know, like, you know, in the traditional sense, we call this Holy Week, you know. And so I think because it's a holy week, we don't want to joke about something that's holy. You know, why would we want to do that, right? Y'all are looking at me funny. You don't think that, I mean, come on, guys, loosen up. It's going to be okay. So the dad jokes this morning, I mean, they're pitiful. I'm not even going to share them. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Oh, God, I just really don't have anything that's good. I mean, I got my good old favorites. Huh? They're never good? Oh, okay. Will I do it for a yes, sir? I will do it for a French fry. Hey, and by the way, McDonald's, they've got a large fry, then they got a supersize, then they got a basket. A basket of fries. I'd triple dog dare you to go to McDonald's and order a basket of fries. That's a whole meal right there. Just get you a basket of fries and a chocolate milkshake or a mocha frappe, one of the two. And you got that salty with that chocolate and the sweet. And wham, just hot fries and whoo. That's all right. We'll believe God later. All right, what are bears? What do we call bears with no ears? Bees. BEAR, take the ears out. Bees. Back next week, we'll have the same show for you. Everybody good, huh? Charles, let's get us started. Do y'all know what today is? Palm Sunday. Where are our leaves at? We ain't getting no palm leaves? You bring no palm trees in here? Like, I was fully expecting for it to look like the beach in here this morning. I really was, with like palm trees and flamingos. And that's what I think whenever I think about Palm Sunday. It's like, oh, man, yeah. You try to get a donkey? Man, that'd have been great. Just some palm trees in here. No, Palm Sunday is actually the kickoff day, you know, the kickoff Sunday for what's traditionally called Holy Week. So I am going to talk about that to some degree, but I'm going to try to lay down some groundwork before we get going this morning. Sometimes I have a tendency just to kind of take off in a direction, and I want to make sure that we're all together before I start going in a direction. Okay, does that make sense? Because the importance of this week cannot be overstated. The importance of this time period, this season that we're in, this remembrance that we're going into cannot be overstated. We are talking about and we'll be looking at and we'll be remembering upon what our Savior did to bring about not only our salvation, but also our deliverance in this life. This is what's happening this week. This is the time period. You know, we've been talking at the beginning of the year, what we've been talking about, that Jesus is the good shepherd. What's he doing? He's standing at the door and he's crying out for the, and this is the year to what? Hear his voice. And when we hear the voice, we hear the voice because what does the shepherd do? He does what to the sheep? He leads the sheep. He leads them out. This time period that we're in, if you will really pay attention, if you'll just take just a few minutes every day just to give him an opportunity, you're going to hear clearer this week. Between now and I would say over the next 2 or 3 weeks, you're going to hear clearer than you ever have before. Now is your time to hear from God. It's time, y'all. It's time. And today we are kicking off. We're making an announcement. We're standing up and we're saying that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is risen. He's risen. He is risen and he will come again. And today we start putting ourselves into remembrance to make sure that we properly pay attention during this season. Amen. That's what we're going to do. Y'all excited about it? I'm ready. I think it's going to be fun. Let's see what we got. Hey, all right. Here we go. Day one. Now, y'all have to realize I put all this together because I stole some of it. All right. I didn't, you know, I did some of it, but then I stole some of it. So some of it's me, some of it ain't. Some of it's my Bible, you know. But I figured putting the Bible in there would be okay. Day one, what happened? We had a triumphal entry on what we call Palm Sunday. Now, this happens in Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 9. So at this point is whenever Jesus entered into Jerusalem 1 week before the resurrection. Are y'all with me? This is full week before the resurrection. So the Bible takes you in Matthew 21. It takes you through the progression of that time period. And we're going to look at it real quick if I have everybody to say amen and they're okay with it. All right. If you don't want to do it, just say no, not me. All right, cool. So at this time, whenever Jesus came in, and the reason why we call this Palm Sunday is because on this day, he entered in. Before he entered in, he told the disciples to go and get a donkey and a colt. And you'll find the donkey and the colt. There'll be somebody there. If they say anything to you, just tell them the Lord has need of it. They'll let you have it. So they went and they got it, and he sat on it, and they came in. Whenever he started to come into the city, the people of Israel, the children of Israel, saw him coming in, had heard what Jesus had been doing, and some of them had actually witnessed what Jesus had been doing in the surrounding area. When he stepped in, they knew him to be the Messiah, and they knew him to be the coming king. And so what they did was they pulled down these palm branches. They started laying palm branches down in his way. They throw his cloaks down, and, you know, they're just kind of making a way for him to come in on the donkey. Are y'all with me? It's a great little... And so he does his little entry thing, and ta-ta! I'm here, y'all. Day one. Let's go to day two. Wait, whoa, whoa, back up. Yeah, you're right, Charles. See, Charles stayed there. He knew I wanted to stay there. During this time, as they pulled the palm leaves out, during this time, they began to say what? It's back here behind me. Y'all see that? Hosanna. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now the word Hosanna, anybody know what it means? Except Chris. Anybody know what it means? Hosanna means save now. All right? It's made up of two words. Y'all with me? Did I lose you? All right, everybody got real quiet. Yeshua, which is the root word, Hoshaw, which means to be safe, to preserve, to rescue, to save, or to get victory. All right? The now end of it, means I pray right now. So this means to save, rescue, right now. Right now. So whenever they were laying their palm leaves down in front of him and putting their cloaks down on the ground, they were saying, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. Isn't there a song? Hosanna. Save now. In the highest. Save now, the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name. Save now. The highest I could say it. Save now. Y'all with me? Day two. Jesus comes in on Monday. He cleanses the temple. You find this in Matthew 21, verses 12 through 17. During this time, we all know the story. He walked into the temple. They were doing money changing. They were selling stuff up in there. He didn't like it. He sat down and he wove a whip and he drove them out. Y'all remember that? Oh, yeah. All right, so here's the deal. First day, our king's coming in. Hosanna, woo, gonna save us now. Day number two, he rolled up in the temple. Made a little old bull whip, got after it. Oh man, it's on like a chicken bone. You know what I'm talking about? Jesus done rolled up in this place. He done rolled all up in this big daddy and he gonna lay him out. Watch him. He finna get it. Y'all remember? He flipped over. Y'all remember? Homework this weekend. Homework. Or this week. You read this stuff, alright? Y'all with me? Jesus rolled up in there. Y'all remember? Y'all seen the show? Jesus, pow, he flips stuff over and pops the whip. My father's house, you know, the house of prayer, you know, not a den of thieves. Y'all get on up out of here. Woo! All the Israelites were like, yeah, look at him. He's crazy. Yeah. That's my boy. Jesus done come to do it. Yeah. Hosanna, baby. Get at it. Y'all with me. You can see it in your mind's eye. Day three. It's a Tuesday. Matthew chapter 21, verses 23, 24. Matthew 21, 23, and then you go all the way to chapter 24 and 51. So this is like 3.5 chapters or so of teaching. He goes to the Mount of Olives, and he teaches on the kingdom of God. Woo, yay, Jesus. Yeah. Hosanna. Day four. Wednesday. Y'all like Wednesdays, don't you? Shoot, man, ain't nothing like coming to church on a Wednesday, right? Been working. Come in, all tired. Be like you're putting an air conditioner in somebody's house. You know, just tired. Just tired. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through Matthew 26, 16 is when this has happened. What does it say? Jesus did what? He continued to teach. Hosanna. Come on, Jesus. Hosanna. Let's go. Save us up, Big Daddy. Come on. I mean, yeah, yay, good teaching. Oh, you want to offer it here? Let's go. Come on. Y'all with me? Let's see, that was day four. That was Wednesday. Let's look at day five. Day five, stuff starts getting real. Starts getting real on day five. Thursday. Look at y'all looking at me funny. This is whenever we have the Passover and the Last Supper. It happens in Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 75. That's a big old chapter, man. It's like reading Psalms, man, just long. Like, man, this chapter ain't over yet. I would not recommend, like, if you try to do a chapter a day, you know, before you go to work, I would not recommend Matthew 26 before you go to work. Or if you do, you need to get up early. It's a long chapter. There's a lot in there, okay? Lots to digest. I would go to, like a proverb and grab one of them, you know, for that day. Wait and do this on a Saturday, you know? So Thursday, y'all with me? Day five. This is Passover. So Jesus celebrates the Passover with his disciples. He says, hey, we got to go find a place. Let's go get it done. It's Passover time. Do y'all know what Passover is about? We do? Are we sure? Because it's really important. We know what the Passover was about. All right, cool. So he celebrates the Passover with the disciples. When he does this, they're in a room, they're hanging out, and he institutes what we call the Lord's Supper, which is communion. We'll do that in a little bit. This do in remembrance of me. Y'all know that stuff? He starts that right there on Thursday. There ain't no whole lot of people hollering Hosanna right now, is there? Ain't saying much. Just got his disciples with him. Anyway, let's move on. Jesus predicts that Peter will deny him, and he also predicts Judas's betrayal. And Judas actually at this point, Judas and he are dipping their bread in the same little deal. And he's like, you got to go do what you got to go do. You know, and Judas is like, you know, I mean, he kind of eases out like a ninja. Just all of a sudden, Judas ain't there. Like if you read it, that's kind of the way it reads. It's like he just ninja'd right out of there. Just gone. Where'd Judas go? I don't know. He's invisible. After this, he goes to the prayer in the garden. Now, this is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is the place where he says, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, your will. Did it three times. He asked the disciples to go and pray with him. They go, he was sorely vexed. He knew at this point what was about to happen. That ain't nobody saying Hosanna today. Ain't nobody celebrating it. Where are they at? He knew what was about to happen. He knew that his betrayer had just left. He knew that Peter would deny him. He goes to his father. Is there any? He asked the disciples to go with him. They kept falling asleep. The Bible says they just kept going to sleep. They kept going to sleep. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas walks up with a crew. Now, this crew came from the scribes and the Pharisees. These are Jewish soldiers. These are Israeli soldiers. These are the people that were just crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Y'all with me? They're coming from Caiaphas, who was the head of the Sanhedrin. And Caiaphas, since they paid Judas. Everybody knows Judas got his money. And Judas said, I'll take you to the one. And y'all remember he kissed him. And then the soldiers came in and arrested him. And then they took Jesus to the Sanhedrin so that he could stand before Caiaphas and all of his boys. While all this stuff is going on, y'all know the story. Peter, he had already told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Peter's like, no, man, ain't no way. I'm with you to the end. We ride or die, Big Daddy. I am your ride or die. I am with you. He said, that a rooster will crow. I'm telling you. Peter denied him three times. He didn't really, even if you read the Bible, he doesn't really even realize what's going on until he hears, get that off a hook. If y'all know that movie, Hook, it's a good movie. That's day five, because that rooster crowed, right? Woo, let's see what six looks like. Day six. This is what we call Good Friday. On this day, this is whenever you have the trial, the crucifixion, the death and burial of Jesus is taking place on this day. You'll find it in Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 62. Yet again, chapter 27. I wouldn't read it before work in the morning trying to be fast. It's kind of long. The Sanhedrin could not do anything with Jesus. They couldn't do anything with him, so they took him to the oppressive occupying force at the time. At the time, they were occupied. This land was occupied and ran by Rome. All right? So there are Roman soldiers that are there. They're not of the people in that dirt. They are an opposing force that came in and has now enslaved, basically, the children of Israel. Are y'all with me? And so they took him from the Sanhedrin and from their court system and said, we're going to take him to the Roman court system. Because our court system, we got a lot of rules and regulations, what we could do with people like us. But the Romans, they do whatever they want to do. Sounds like a good idea, don't it, fellas? Yes, it does. And so they take him to Pontius Pilate. At this time is whenever Judas tries to return the silver. And after he goes to the silver, they wouldn't take it because they called it blood money. So Judas ends up killing himself over what he had done. And Paul's got a fantastic message about that called Just One More Day that I would recommend you finding or get him to tell it to you or have him up here or something. It's a good message. After this happens, Jesus faces Pilate. It's kind of weird. At this point, Pilate's wife starts saying, you don't need to be messing with this dude. There's something up. And she's not even a believer. She just has a weird feeling about him. She's having dreams. She's like, don't do this. This is strange. At that time, if you remember, they place up Jesus and Pontius Pilate can let one of them go because it was tradition, because of the time period, Passover, all that. It's a celebration that's taking place. The people of Israel are having this celebration. So he does, to honor their celebration, he gives one prisoner away. He will pardon one. Who do you want? You got Barabbas, who was, from what it seemed like, kind of wild and nasty, kind of got in trouble a little bit. Or you have Jesus. Which one y'all want? We want Barabbas. Hosanna. Hosanna. Same people. We want Barabbas instead of Jesus. And the people cried out, what? We done with him. Pontius Pilate even says, what do you want me to do with this guy? Crucify him. The people cried out all the more, the Bible says. Crucify him. And Pontius Pilate says, I don't want this man's blood on me. And they said, let his blood be on us and our children. Crucify him. We done. So after that, he is turned over to the Roman soldiers. At this time, there's a beating commences, that there is not a man in this room who understands what he went through. We don't have anything in this life that's remotely close to what he's about to go through. They begin to mock him. They start bowing down at him. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They put a robe on him, bowing down to him, King of the Jews. Come on, the Christ. Come on, King. Slapping him around, spitting on him. After they did that, they took him to a whipping post and beat him worse than any animal has ever been beaten. They took a thing called the cat of nine tails, which is basically a frayed whip with a bunch of hands. The threads are hanging on it. In that, they would put pieces of bone in there. They would put metal, like a little dumbbell. We talked about this Wednesday night on there. There was pieces of metal, and what they wanted to have happen, they wanted to hit him, and they wanted that metal to cause a bruise to happen underneath his skin, and then they would drag it across the skin. They would drag it across him. Or whomever it was that they were hitting, they would drag it across him so that the bone would rake the skin open so that the blood would flow. Where they at? Ain't nobody saying Hosanna today. They beat this man in such a way that Mel Gibson did the best he could to show us on film, and it wasn't even close. Mr. Kenny said the other night you couldn't even recognize him. He was beat so bad. Man, we have no understanding of what he went through. You want to talk about a man? I know a man. His name is Jesus. He took a beating that none of us would even be able to look at. Most of us wouldn't be able to look at. We all know the story. They hung him on the cross. He had several things to say while he was on the cross. He said them. He did his business. And he died. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that God smote him that day. To smite something means to hit with a decisive blow with the intent to destroy. God himself, Jehovah, intended to destroy him and all that he carried. Y'all with me? After that, they buried him in Joseph of Arimathea, I think it was, is that right? In his tomb. They didn't have a place to put him. So they put him in his tomb. And that was day 6. Day 7. The next day, he's in the tomb. It's where Jesus is at. You can find this in Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. And Pilate has to set a guard at the tomb at that time. He sets the guard there because the Sanhedrin, who basically accused Jesus and ran him up to Pilate and made a big deal about what was going on, the Sanhedrin said, we're afraid that his disciples will run in there, move the stone, pull the body out, close it back, and then say that he raised his from the dead on 3 days like he said he was going to do. So we don't want them to be able to do that, so you need to put some folks up there. And Pontius Pilate said, okay, and put some folks up there. That was day 7. Day 8, this is our day. Amen? This is our day. And if we're going to talk a whole lot about this day next week. We're going to have a whole lot to say about what happened during this time. But right now, today, we're going to say that from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 13, till there, it talks about what happened with him raising from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, from the grave. Mary Magdalene and some of the girls, they see him. They actually lay eyes on him. And he says, go tell my disciples. It's kind of a good little story. And then at the end, the Sanhedrin again pulls out their money and they go to bribe the soldiers that were there who fell out whenever, y'all remember the story? We'll talk about it next week. Angel moves the stone out the way. Y'all remember this? Yeah, he ain't here. He is risen. It's a drama thing that I think about. He's not here. He is risen. And so he's not there, but they bribe those soldiers and say, hey, we want you to just go ahead and say that his disciples came and took him. that he didn't raise from the dead. That was the eighth day. But we all know that he did raise from the dead. Amen. Amen. What a powerful, powerful master we have. What a wonderful sacrifice that was made. What a great person to follow when you hear his voice. Amen. Charles, will you go back to what scriptures did I give you next? Hold on here. Charles, take me back to Matthew chapter 21, please. Yeah. So, we're back on Palm Sunday. Y'all with me? You follow the progression there. I know I went into a lot of detail, but if you've been doing your homework, you kind of know a little bit about some of that. And if you want to do your homework, you now know where to go to see about it. Amen? Where we can sit down and kind of read it and look at it. It's important. It's important to understand what happened. On Palm Sunday, if y'all remember, they laid the palms in front of him. This is where it happens. The disciples went and did as Jesus commanded him. He told them to go get a donkey and a colt. Go get them right now. They went and did it. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them, and then they put Jesus up on the donkey. Let's roll, Big Daddy. So they did it. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Now, these branches that were cut down, well, you keep going, yeah. Then the multitudes went before those, followed out saying, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And we talked about Hosanna, save now. The limbs that they were cutting down were palm trees, palm limbs, palm leaves that laid down. Palm leaves are super duper significant in the ancient world. Okay? I'm going to read y'all some stuff. Bear with me, but it's easier for me to read it so I don't mess it up. Okay? Y'all ready? One, two, three, go. In ancient times, palm branches symbolized goodness, well-being, grandeur, steadfastness, and victory. They were often depicted on coins and important buildings. King Solomon had palm branches carved into the walls and the doors of the temple that he built. Did y'all get that? So they really meant something, and they meant a lot in ancient times. On the walls around the temple in both the inner and the outer rooms, he carved cherubim, which are angels, palm trees, and open flowers. Palm branches were regarded as tokens of joy and triumph and were customarily used on festive occasions. So they were a jubilee, as a good friend of mine told me last night, that they were a jubilee. That it was a time of, when the palm leaves came out, when you pulled the palm leaves out, it was party time. I mean, it was like, we're going to crank up the music, we're going to do the Cupid Shuffle, you know, we're going to get it. Electric slide, where's Miss Deborah at? Here she can do an electric slide pretty good. She's outside. She just walked out, oh man. There was a party last night, you know, that the church attended. And I understand that everybody had a good time whenever Greg left. Yeah. Yeah. Used in festive occasions. Kings and conquerors were welcomed. Listen to this. Kings and conquerors. Kings and what? Conquerors were welcomed with palm branches being strewn before them and waved in the air. Victors from Grecian games returned to their homes triumphantly waving palm branches in their hands. Here's one that really stands out. Palm stems or palm branches represented long life with the ancient Egyptians. It represented long life with the ancient Egyptians and the god Huh, H-U-H, Huh. The god Huh that they worshiped was often shown holding a palm branch in one or both of his hands, and the palm was carried in an Egyptian funeral procession to represent eternal life. So the palm branch not only represented victory, it was laid out in front of kings and conquerors, and then the ancient Egyptians said that it represented long and eternal life. So when these people were laying their branches down and saying, Hosanna, save now, what they saw was their king entering in to deliver them from the hands of the Roman invasion they were participating in. That's what they saw. And the reason why they saw it and the reason why they felt it that way, they knew, let me back up, they knew that God was going to send a deliverer. They had been believing for him for a long time. They'd been looking for him to show up. And this dude rolled in on a donkey, not a horse. A donkey, which is an animal of peace. A horse is an animal of war. You know, you want to go to war to somebody, you are not going to get on a donkey and go to war with somebody. And then they go stop, and you got a bucket. Y'all with me? No, you're going to come in on a steed that's been trained to go into battle and run at a problem. Right? That's what they were expecting. And then, Chris was with me last night. Chris and I have been talking about this. You know, we talked about this for a couple hours last night. Chris asked a good question. He asked me a good question. He said, why is it palm leaves? So we started digging. We found all this stuff right here. And he said, dude, don't you see what's happening? Like, no. He said, the last time the children of Israel were delivered, God moved in a spectacular, natural way. If you remember, Moses came out and he stretched the staff, and what happened? Seas parted. Remember all the plagues that came into Egypt? All that, they're laying the palm tree limbs down because their master, the king, is moving in, and they're expecting God just about to get real ignorant. He's fixing to send some frogs and some locusts. He's going to turn the water to blood. He gonna kill the firstborn if they don't get right. We finna get on up out of this Roman bondage. We're done. We finna move on up out of here. Hosanna! Hosanna. Are y'all with me? I got on my Star Wars shirt. It's kind of like, what was Jar Jar Binks' people called? I can't remember what they were called, but remember at the end they were all dancing. They just having a good old time. That's what's going on here. These folks are going nuts because they heard the stories for hundreds of years. I think it was 600 years that they had been under Roman bondage and over Roman law. And for 600 years, they've been hearing the old stories about how God, he did a fire by night and a cloud by day. And he sent them all these quail and all this stuff happened then. And every morning when they got up, there was manna on the ground. They could just eat it, you know, and they went through the wilderness and he let them out and he split the sea and everything was great. They'd heard all those stories. And so they knew that whenever their deliverer walked in, man, it's time. It is time. We finna get it on. Jesus finna get ignorant. It's gonna be great. I can't wait. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Are y'all feeling me? But instead of that, God didn't move the same way that he moved last time. See, they were looking for a thing in the natural. They were looking for a king to come and wage war. They were looking for God to do what he did last time. He did it. This is why he did it last time. He's going to do the same way this time. Wouldn't he? Man, where's my quail at? You know? Is this making sense? But Jesus came on the scene not as a conqueror in the natural, but as a deliverer. In the spirit. What he did was purely spiritual. And all the Hosanna and all the palm leaves and all that went away. Next thing you know, all you got is a bunch of folks saying, crucify him. We ain't got nothing for him. Get rid of him. Because God wasn't moving the way they expected him to move. Did I give you some more scriptures there? What'd I give you? Yeah, there you go. Here they are. They're crucifying him. Verse 23, look at this. The governor said, wow, what evil has he done? They cried out all the more. What did they say? Let him be crucified. We don't want him. You can have him. Kill him. Be through. Hosanna. Crucify. See? When Pilate saw this, saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see this, and you see it. In verse 25, and the people answered, and they said, his blood be on us and our children. Hosanna. Chilling. Hosanna. He didn't move like I thought he was going to move. Get rid of him. Hosanna. He ain't doing like, wait a minute, God, I thought you said you were going to show up. I'm done. Hosanna. I'm going to go to church and start really reading my Bible and doing my thing. I'm going to believe God. But he don't move like we expected. I'm done. Crucify him. I'm through. I ain't doing this no more. I ain't going up in that church no more. I ain't going to read my Bible no more. I ain't going to pray no more because it don't work. Hosanna. Crucify him. I'm all about church. I ain't going back ever. Y'all seeing this here? I think I gave you another scripture, didn't I, Charles? See, God's smarter than we are. He knows how our human nature can be. He knows that we'll see things. All right, let me ask y'all a question. It's a real good question. Great question. Last time he was in this building, and I know we got some visitors here this morning. I know this does not apply to you. However, those of you that this is not your first Sunday, what seat did you sit in last time? You know why we do that? Because we have an experience with God, and we want to re-experience the same way that we did before. And so we want the goosebumps, and we want the music to be a particular way, and we want the lights down, and we want everything to be just copacetic, so that God can now move and I can feel him again. Whenever God said, look at this, do not remember the what, nor consider what? Why? Verse 19, why, Lord? I'm doing a new thing. First scripture this woman spoke this year. Pastor Ginger came up here and said, this is the word we got. God's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing in you. He's doing a new thing in me. He's doing a new thing in all of us. What we cannot do is let ourselves get so caught up in the way that things used to be and the way that he used to move that we can't let him move now. And we go holler and crucify him. We done. We don't want no more. Amen. Y'all with me? This is your time to hear from the Master. This is your time to rise up and hear what God has for you in your life. And this season right now is going to be clearer than ever before. We're going to put away, we're going to do what Paul said. Paul said to forget those things that are behind and I press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press towards that. The good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it's behind me. I'm not even looking at that stuff no more. I don't care how great it was. I don't care how bad it was. I don't care how ugly it was. I don't care how beautiful it was. I'm not going to look at that. I am going to press towards the mark that's been set before me. And that mark, you're hearing his voice right now today. I promise you. He's calling out this year and he's crying out this year and he is telling us what we are to do. Not only just as a congregation and as a church, but individually, we're all going to hear from him. When he don't move like you think he ought to move, and he ain't doing at the time frame that you think your time frame needs to be, and it don't seem like nothing's happening, don't do like the children of Israel and change your Hosanna into a crucify him. Amen. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Oh, we got to do communion, don't we? Golly, you're getting a little groove, but y'all stand anyway. Let's all stretch a little bit before we get in communion. It's been a minute. If you got a potty, go potty. But come back. We're going to do communion. I completely forgot. Just some music.